down too, I'm sure. The Rhodesian Times is going to get their ass busted for that. Said that the Ian Smith Council cannot be trusted. But even now, they're having trouble with their Uncle Tom. Satole says it is not honorable. It is not honorable, the intentions. There is no intention, he says, he feels now. So does Musue, the Methodist bishop, that the discrimination is going to be ended in the schools and the hospitals and the residential areas and in all the other places that I just mentioned. He said the white European population are going to be given special treatment, but the government says they're just trying to train them slowly to accept people of color. Musuela says he said the whole damn thing is less than nothing, and he wonders why USA, who has been championing human rights, now this Musuela, who's been an Uncle Tom sellout, would give aid before Rhodesia cleans its house up. South Africa apartheid continues. Multiracial nightclubs, however, are giving them a little trouble. Some of the youth are meeting in some nightclubs in Johannesburg, and the police don't quite know what to do right now during the tourist season. A lot of Americans and other nations of the world are there, and they're all dancing and jiving at rock music. There's supposed to be no mixing of the races, but thus far, these five nightclubs that are doing it have not been interfered with. As one South African said, you know, the dollar talks. We need European money, and they don't quite like this racial separatism. The white owner said of the business, of course, the business is not owned by blacks, and any black going in when racists are treated like they are in South Africa, they get 1/20 of the wage, and they have to live in reservations, concentration camps, and bear tattoo marks and passes, wouldn't be in there in the first damn place. But he said, there are, however, the couples who don't dance with each other, but they're in the same place, as if that were some breakthrough. Now, the Voice of America wanted to think that that was a breakthrough. I don't see much breakthrough with five nightclubs in one town. Johannesburg has a reputation for tourism, big business, and money. It can't live without tourism. So naturally, they're going to put a little fringes on like they're not quite as bad as they are. And it is a little more liberal than most cities. It was that Johannesburg Star that praised Mozambique, its reporter. But next thing you knew, he was under house arrest. And house arrest means in South Africa, and now the U.S. Supreme Court has upheld the same kind of a thing for USA. Means you can be permanently detained without trial. All right. Non-whites are not allowed on dance floors, however, in the major hotels, of course. Restaurants, desegregation will take place in certain places in Johannesburg, so Johannesburg Council says, but not the major restaurants. They said it is money doing the talking. Even Voice of America admitted that. The Benguela Railway between Angola and Zaire is a subject of mention. It goes 10,000 kilometers, giving Zaire access to the sea through Angola. Normalization of relations, not too good maybe in one sense, because the Katanganese in Angola, though will still be given sanctuary, will not be given support for any venture into Zaire. However, the former right-wing elements of Angola who have sanctuary in Zaire are also not going to be given any toleration for attacks against Angola. We will see how it works out. It had been closed because of the breakdown, the war, you know, and so forth. It cuts off the amount of time. Zaire didn't like Rhodesia, in spite of it being a right-wing puppet, and it was having to ship to Rhodesia, giving it profit. So this way, the profit goes more mutually to two black nations. One Marxist-Leninist, pro-Soviet, and the other a capitalist, strangely enough, under a strong arm, Mobutu. The railway has connected all the mining regions to the ports, the mining areas of Zaire. Zaire woke up and got a little tired of having all of their minerals taken out at less than world market prices. But Governor Wallace says that's justified because we must not let the middle class go socialist. Angola, major area of profit to them from this east-west route, will be in excess of $138 million a year. Well, that's good. They got that from Zaire. Zaire, their copper will be gotten to the ports at a higher price than the imperialists were giving them. The lackeys, Belgium and France of USA and the multinational corporations of both. Vital to the economics of both. Angolan Nationalist and Zaire, they blew up the damn railway, both sides before, but now it's been continually and totally rebuilt. The rebels may continue to attack the railway, however, their fear in the Voice of America, terrible fear that it's going to work entirely on the behalf of the socialists, and that Zaire's making an unwise move. What they're really saying is Zaire is getting a little self-determination. The reopening of the Benguela Railway is, however, hailed by most other parts of the world, the socialist world, certainly. The Guinean president said he's coming to a growing end to isolation, reducing dependence on... I see what they're having now, the Guinean president, and no wonder they're after his ass. He's reducing his dependency upon European nations. He said he was not going to become dependent on the USSR, but believe me, there must be something in that. We'll get more from Moscow on that in a moment. OAU summit, they were activated for the first time for the liberation of Africa. They'd been more or less on the part of the Western imperialists before. Monrovia agreed to buy different things from Senegal and Ivory Coast, and they're going to bury their differences. So that's working out. That would be more of a Western gain in Monrovia. I will need to study more about Monrovia because the Voice of America kind of hails it, so you know what they hail is not in the interest of the working class people. Relations with the West on an upswing in that particular area. Well, let's hope. Cause increase U.S. aid. Yeah, I expect so. Then they're going to give them a little aid, make them think they're feeling good while they strangle them and rob their damn pants while they think they're getting a little extra to eat for a moment. South Africa applauded Namibian independence plans ostensibly, if it does not include Walvis Bay. Well, Walvis Bay, Namibia says, will not be given up. Robert Dorman condemns human rights violations in Guinea. Again, we have to find out what the hell is going on in Guinea. Vance, personal invitations to Washington by Carter. Both accepted. That is, leaders of Israel, Egypt. I think we've been given that before. They'll be meeting at the lovely estate outside of Washington in Camp David, where there's been more sellouts than I've got fingers and toes and sperm in my testicles. All right, rescue operations style are going to take different. Now they're going to do some rescue operations in Rhodesia. I wonder what the hell they're talking about now. They're going to be talking about same or similar rescue operations in other nations that are being threatened. Now, they're talking about Rhodesia. What they mean by rescue operations, I can be assured, is more mercenaries are being trained, as I brought out in the news earlier in the week. Now we go to Radio Moscow. Geneva talks between the Soviet Union and USA and Britain. There is, in view of the frightening danger of nuclear war, even a little agreement progress today on the ending of nuclear tests. Won't make much difference in that China won't agree to it, neither will France. So anyway, it's some progress, says Radio Moscow. Delegations from the three countries had an initial exchange of seismic data. There are going to be some help to each other between those three on earthquakes who are becoming more pronounced. Radio Moscow said there is question as to what the reason for this is. I would say the information was that maybe CIA had been doing some fucking with harassment that way. 33rd anniversary of Nagasaki, 280,000 were murdered by USA because they didn't want the Soviets to get in there and help liberate the Japanese people from the Empire of Japan, and then they'd had partial control. is 7-8 times more population. Same amount of area, not too many mountains, too many deserts. And the coast region is swampy and full of tiny islands with crocodiles and hippopotamus in the jungle rivers. Independence was gained October 2, 1958. It didn't become Marxist till later, when Getty voted massively against de Gaulle's dictatorial proposed constitution. Under U.S. auspices, the French withdrew from the former territory overnight. They'd been backed militarily by USA, but they couldn't hold on. Not only did all French aid cease immediately, but within days, all French administrators, technicians, doctors, officers, teachers, and judges disappeared. They took all their records, destroyed all the equipment that was there, unhooked the electricity and telephones in their offices, and sabotaged everything that they could. That's the way U.S. imperialism worked. And Britain did here. They sabotaged every plant before they left, and even removed the furniture and file cabinets. Gideon leaders moved into offices without a scrap of paper in them and had to rebuild the country's records from scratch, establishing a new democracy upon no foundations at all. Well, that's what the hell's troubling U.S., of course, always. They always act. When they start hollering human rights, you can know damn well that they're up to something. Because they were concerned about human rights. They said they were so concerned about Sharansky, as I said, then why in the hell didn't they give Sharansky, they exchange Sharansky and Orlov and all that other Ginsburg, who'd been convicted criminals in the Soviet Union, for the Wilmington 10, or anybody else. China, the Soviet Union got very, very agreeable. A beautiful story in the New Nation about Chinese peasants in the ages, how aged, how they're provided for in China. Chinese peasants need not have to worry. It shows a beautiful, lovely, lovely center in the pagoda. Typical peaceful surroundings. Elder peasants relax. There's the right to leisure after having carried out for years their own duty to work. Their own communes are self-governed by themselves. They're provided for by the five guarantees of the communist system of China. The rural communes instituted to give them food, shelter, clothing, and medical care, plus burial expenses when they die. If those too weak to look after themselves choose to spend their sunset years free from worries and cares and commune-run homes managed by themselves, they can go into city areas, but they don't have to. The home operated by the Nanyuan, N-Y-U-A-N, commune is located in the quiet surroundings set amid vegetable gardens that are teeming in a Peking suburb. Here, 71 elderly men and women live in several rows of brick and tile homes with porches and beautified by potted flowers. The costs in running the homes are met by the commune's welfare fund. Most of the men in the home were penniless farmers, farmhands who could not afford to marry in the days before the founding of the Communist People's Republic. Some managed to marry late in life but failed to have any children. Having a house to themselves, a 68-year-old man named Sung Wenpei and his wife, now 74, whom he married just a decade or so ago. For many years, the old man had worked as a stableman in the production team until he retired because of old age. "We came here when we had difficulty even in cooking meals," said the old man, as do the other inmates. Sun and his wife received a little pocket money every month, though they have a bank savings of 500 yuan, which they have no need of spending. I guess yuan, Y-U-A-N, that's a form of money in China. Living next door to the sons is a 78-year-old Chow Feng Yin, a talkative woman with a ready smile, always in silvery hair, an activist during the agrarian revolution movement in the early 50s. She was in charge of the daycare center in her production team before she came to the home 6 years ago. "We aged people can now live in comfort under socialism," she said. Half a dozen workers have been assigned to do the cooking, washing, and tailoring for the elderly people. They keep a vegetable garden and a small poultry yard, the produce of which goes to supplement the diets of the aged. They keep active because they want to, and it's good for their health. Don't see any crippling people around. Three wholesome meals are served daily in a dining hall where the old people gather together to watch television in the evenings in one common communal hall like we have here.
to make life more interesting, school children come to give performances from time to time. The Holmes Clinic, manned by a woman, barefoot doctors they called in China, who devote themselves to the people, look after the health of the older people, whose most common complaints are hypertension, arteriosclerosis, and heart ailment. The barefoot doctor is quite competent in the use of Western drugs. We're in a better zone living for hypertension. That's one good thing, because the heat brings down that tension. And, of course, there's somebody else that's got a little power. And they use also traditional herbal medicines. Complicated cases are referred to the big, very modern hospital in Peking. China takes care of their seniors in diverse ways. In the urban areas, old age pensions are provided for all people working in industry, government organizations, service trades, and schools. Childless pensioners who lose the ability to look after themselves can go to homes set up either by the government or factories. In the old days, thousands of old people without children, they died of starvation. The few made it by begging, but just millions died of starvation. The elderly had no future before communism in China. New China has put on an end, a great end to that phenomenon. There is no hunger anywhere in China. Imperialism infiltrates the non-aligned movement. Then I shall close. This is the editorial of the main paper of the PNC, our ruling party, the People's National Congress. It says, the recently concluded non-aligned foreign ministers conference in Belgrade was a clear reflection of the U.S. imperialism's somewhat significant infiltration into the non-aligned movement. It is now left to be seen how the bitterness engendered will affect next year's summit in Havana. Against the background of embittered spoutings at the conference in Belgrade, the progressive countries skillfully outmaneuvered the divisive elements and emerged somewhat fairly united in resolve to tackle problems of the Third World in conformity with the declaration of the inaugural non-aligned conference held in Belgrade in 1961. It's important news today. Take note of it. The issue that elicited widespread controversy was the assistance being rendered by Cuba to countries in Africa. Some forces within the movement described such assistance as intervention and suggested that the venue of next year's summit will be switched to should be switched from Havana. However, that was voted down. By the way, we have interesting news that came also in from the government. We will not have to take any outside people into our schools. That was a breakthrough. No school in the history of Ghana has ever gotten by that. We just need to have more time so we can integrate as we will. We have integrated Guyanese already, and we will look forward to it beautifully. But right now, we can't take in lodging more outside community members until we get our people to freedom. Particular attention was paid to the military assistance that Cuba is giving to Ethiopia, Angola, and Mozambique. Apparently those, and now to Uganda, who were opposed to the role Cuba is playing in those countries, were completely oblivious or didn't want to be made aware of the fact of the 1961 Belgrade Declaration, which stated inter alia, whichever that means, I-N-T-E-R-A-L-I-A, that means without exception, that support must be given to the people fighting for the right to self-determination and concerted effort to end all varieties of neocolonialism and imperialist domination by capitalism. Well, that's pretty clear. That was the mandate, so Cuba's carrying on the mandate of the non-aligned conference. Paradoxically, however, said the Chronicle editorial of the Guyana Chronicle, of our beloved Guyana and PNC, our party, the People's National Congress under Dr. Burnham, all of the countries, paradoxically, that are opposed to Cuba's assistance to Africa and which are claiming that Cuba is not worthy of its membership in the non-aligned movement are, in some way or the other, contravening non-aligned policies. Take Somalia, for instance. During the OAU, the Organization of African Unity Conference, Somalia's Siad Barre, B-A-R-R-E, told the gathering that serious collective measures should be considered to contain the Cuban threat to Africa. Said Barre probably forgot the movement's policy, that's his name, said, S-A-I-D, I'll call him Side so you won't get confused. Barre probably forgot the movement's policy of peaceful coexistence, which has declared since 1961. Had he remembered, he would not have blatantly invaded Ethiopia, a sovereign socialist state, and a member of the Non-Aligned Movement, imperialist opposition led by USA, to help bring, to help being rendered by Cuba, is an understandable development. They obviously, imperialism wants to stop this, especially if one should scrutinize the situation in Ethiopia, and the Ghana Chronicle does it bravely. There is a narrow strait which connects the Gulf of Aden, ADN, with the Red Sea in the Horn of Africa, Ethiopia and others. You remember the Horn of Africa. Oil traffic from the Persian Gulf through the Suez Canal to Europe must pass through that strait. Strategists see control of these shipping lanes as a major goal of Western imperialism led by USA. Cuba's military assistance to Ethiopia, coupled with Ethiopia's revolutionary socialist policies, pose a direct threat to any imperialist-instigated attack taking over the Horn of Africa. Cuban troops will have to remain because, according to reports, hundreds and hundreds of U.S. military advisors and thousands of civilians are at present in Saudi Arabia, a country that supported the right-wing Somalian invasion of Ethiopia. Saudi Arabia has already negotiated the sale of 60 F-15 jets from the USA. These jets are capable of flying without a stop for refueling up to 900 miles from their home bases and back, thus enabling bombing and attempt to destroy Ethiopia. Military analysts see the sale of these jets as a result of a concerted plan to hold back the process of revolution in Africa and in Ethiopia particularly, this apart from policy interest in the Middle East. Imperialism is totally against socialism in Africa, said the editorial of the Guyana Chronicle. Socialism in Africa immediately bars further exploitative investments in that continent. It also transfers the means of production from the hands of the capitalist into the hands of the people. Opposition to the so-called Cuban threat is tantamount. That means equal to opposition to the peoples of the respective states. The only Cuban threat is the threat to U.S. imperialism and its lackeys. Third world countries should not allow narrow emotional attitudes to influence their position within the non-aligned movement. At this period of world history, in the article written in the Chronicle by Roy Alexander Cush, whoever he is, C-U-S-H, we should try to find out. At this period of world history, when revolutionary forces are coming together and creating a solid front against imperialism, it is necessary for the non-aligned movement to develop into a vanguard, a front line of the world revolutionary forces. Sanctions should be leveled against all anti-progressive forces within the movement, because unless this is done, imperialism, Western imperialism, that means U.S. and its allies, as strong as it is, would succeed in destroying a movement that is very much needed in the struggle for third world countries to achieve a just world economic order. Ghana made an important breakthrough, by the way, by signing a Amazonian treaty that involves Suriname and Brazil and Venezuela, all of her border states, for economic development, mutual economic trade. At the same time, she's cleverly protecting herself from any intrusion from those who have made claim on her territory, if you know what I mean. So this is a pretty wise country. Let us hope it keeps on its course. It's certainly speaking in sharpest terms that are favorable to socialism that I just gave you. That will end the ending of the news. There was another beautiful article on how beautiful Soviet justice, the right of defense works, as well as they carried this lovely article on the communes in China. Young socialist movement of Guyana has hailed for new discipline and new work demands. The editor of Young Socialist Movement, Organ, calls for unity and struggle of all socialists in the world against U.S. imperialism. Talks about socialization education in the schools. That will be implemented this year. More about the Non-Alignment Brigade and how they must stand up. Condemnation of NATO and its movement's interventions in Africa, in the Zaire province of Shaba, where French and Belgium paratroopers backed by USA killed Africans, as in the days of Kipling, intrigues against the two Yemens and the Comores, add to the picture of increasingly aggressive imperialism in the developing world. That's another article in the Guyana Chronicle. Today's critics of Cuba have in one way or another joined in these ventures of the Western bloc led by USA, whose purpose is to extend the sphere of its influence. Understandably, at the Belgrade conference, they could not lay hand on any other method of self-rehabilitation than an attack on the true adherence of the policy of non-alignment in its genuine anti-imperialist sense. The pro-Western lobby inside the movement, as well as lobby sponsors in Washington and Bonn, they are really getting sharp, all of a sudden become greatly concerned for the ideological purity of the movement. This found expression in such actions as, for example, the demand that the Sixth Summit Conference should be held not in Havana but elsewhere. Bravely, the Third World Non-Aligned Nations refused to be intimidated. The overwhelming majority of the Belgrade meeting saw in the attack on Cuba an attempt to disrupt traditional links between the non-aligned movement and the socialist world. But such cooperation, it was pointed out at the conference, has long proved beneficial to the sovereignty of the members. It has been socialism that has protected the sovereignty of third world nations and non-aligned nations. And it's also been socialist movements, says the Guyana article, that has aided in the social and economic progress of developing nations. We cannot allow, warned Afghan minister. You know they recently had a revolution that went pro-Soviet. Afghan minister H. Amin at Belgrade non-alignment to be turned into a closed bloc opposed to the socialist countries and will not. So, then Korea hails, the North Korean government hailed the referendum as a move towards socialism. And it carries an article of Kim Il-sung praising it. It also carries a beautiful article on the bloody struggle for survival of the People's Democratic Republic of Korea, how USA had, and Japan and all the imperialists had just simply tortured that nation nearly out of existence, but they have now built one of the most modern socialist states in the world. I cannot see anything else of any interest. It's very, very pro-socialist this time. This the last news we have brought in yesterday, but from the paper. So I think that will end the news of the day. Commentary taken to interest the Guyana history, the Mozambique history, and the Guinea history that is important. I just gave you, and the history of Korea. I think I would like to give you one last thing, and that would be about Guadalupe. I'd like to find out where in the hell Guadalupe is. I wonder if it got anything about that. It's so small. I'll try to find in the almanac. Be sure that you spend your time studying tonight that one tape that's being given. If you must pass it, you pass it. You will not have 5 extra days. Arrange for the extra class for those. There's an educational TV that's decided. May give them part credit for that. Tomorrow we may have a special television. Or if people are studying properly, Friday I may give a special television study, because we learn through the visual and the spoken. I don't seem to be able to find Guadalupe, but let's look up and see if we can't learn more about that brave little island that spoke out so strongly and has its major city, a communist mayor. That is a bit much and a bit encouraging, would you not say? I would say so. Anyway, I know there must be some mention of it somewhere, and I'll fight it in time, I gather. I hope that we have ideas for progressive change in our community, how to make money, how to save. I hope that people will try to listen, quake your ear to listen. It's not easy for me to talk. You know, it's not easier for me to talk these days. So I hope that you will be respectful to try to listen. I would imagine I will find Guadalupe, and I did. It's only just a paragraph. Size is 687 square mile. My, my, what a brave people. Lord Jesus, that's about 160 times smaller than Guyana. Population, though, is half that of Guyana. Shows how much we should be thankful for having such rich, fertile land. They have 350,000. Two main islands and several smaller islands between the British Leewards and the Windwards in the Eastern Caribbean. Guadalupe became a French overseas department in 1946, theoretically equal in status to mainland French departments. Once hailed, the status of Guadalupe has come under criticism from islanders who maintain that they are still considered second-class citizens. Economic troubles and racial unrest have been dealt with only gingerly by France. When Algerian independence was achieved, many of the officers most involved in the North African repression were then transferred to the French West Indies, another cause for complaint. Now, this is older. They must have gained their independence someplace along the line. I can't imagine the French imperialists allowing a communist mayor to speak out as boldly as that one did in the Guadalupe delegation to Cuba. Thus ends the reading of the news. Let's work while we go to classes now. You can sew, you can quilt. The executive members need to take class. Some of the better people in the world just need a little help for the extra classes. Name them off. And remember, movies will be shown according to your taste tonight. It's a free night. But I would advise you to use it productively, as all of the socialists are being advised in Guyana. That's what they're advising. Prime Minister Burnham says we ought to work 16 hours a day gladly to be sure that we keep our freedom from imperialism. Thus ends the reading of the news and commentary, and I love you very, very deeply, dearly. I wouldn't try to educate you with my painful chest and voice. Thank you so much. Much love.